Welcome to Homeschool 101 Texas Style, and we'd like to welcome you to our Saturday afternoon time. We are with Texas Home Educators. My name is Jube Dankworth. I'm the COO. Nikki Truesdell is a leader at Red River Christian Homeschoolers, and she's also on our advisory board. We are a statewide homeschool service organization. And so we are helping homeschoolers all over the state. We promote, if you get connected with us, if you see our logo, you'll see that all over Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, G+. We have two blogs. We have two websites, one just for Houston. It's so big. And we partner. So we, with the promotion and our newsletter and so forth, we connect with homeschoolers. We let you know about things. We let you know what's going on so that you can enrich your child's educational environment. We partner with groups and help them with expos and things like that, or conferences and workshops. We're really blessed that we'll be doing a couple of Texas tours, where speakers from here will be going to a lot of the small cities in Texas. We also provide, in that some of the groups are not incorporated. If you do a spelling bee or a geography bee, you need to be incorporated. And so we can provide the corporate cover for that. So that's who we are. We'd like to know who you are. And Nikki's going to be my assistant here. We've got chocolate, you know, at our table. We always have a never-ending bowl of chocolate. It's 1 o'clock. It's Saturday. Would y'all like a piece of chocolate? Okay. So what we'd like is your first name, ages of your kids, how long you've been homeschooling, or why you're interested in homeschooling. Okay? We'll start over here, go back, and then come up. 5, 4, and 2. Okay. Starting. All right. And go for it. And y'all can just pass that around. And ma'am?
My name is Kara.
Kara.
I have a 3.5-year-old and a
9-month-old. Cool. So you're doing a lot of research ahead of time. Great. Ma'am?
I'm Lynette. I have a
13-year-old
and a
2-year-old. 3 years. Great. Yeah.
10 and 7.
Okay.
And my kids are currently in public school.
Okay.
Well, they went from private, mm-hmm. which is really great, but they were missing some stuff.
Right.
And so then we mainstreamed them into a charter, and now we're in the charter, and we're seeing that even bigger.
Oh,
yeah.
My goodness. Okay.
And so we are thinking about, we're strong against their homeschooling, and this popped up on Facebook, so my box
is. Great. Glad you're here. Glad you're here. Ma'am? Okay. Okay. And a lot of people stair step into homeschooling like that. Okay. Okay. Next. Are y'all passing the bag? Y'all are passing the bags, doing its own thing. Okay. Next. Hi, Becky. Okay. Great. Okay. Okay. Great. See, that I was going to say Nikki was homeschooled and is a perfectly fine adult, as you were saying, too. You can homeschool and be a There's several million people walking around now between 20 and 40 that were homeschooled, and they're in everywhere. Ma'am? Three years, okay. Okay. I don't know what's going on behind you. Hi. Okay, great. Another little one. All right, back there in the blue hat. Okay? There you go. Ma'am? Okay. Sounds great. All right. You guys? 2-year-old. Okay. Lots of littles this time around. Last time we had a lot of high schoolers. Go ahead. Ma'am? Oh, yeah. Homeschool roll call. The reason we call this a homeschool roll call is because whenever there's a homeschool meeting, you would almost always have to do this. So I'm just getting y'all ready. So you're learning, teaching y'all how to be homeschoolers. Right. Okay. Mm-hmm. Oh. Okay. Well, great. There you go. I'm glad you, you know, stayed in the private sector. Ma'am? Actually, you really are. Ma'am? Okay. Lots of littles this time. All right. Okay, let me get this around. All right, now we're going to talk homeschool 101 Texas style. For those of you considering homeschooling, we want to address your questions. We began homeschooling in the 80s when people were being arrested for their educational choice. On June 9th, 1994, the Leeper case was affirmed by the Supreme Court of Texas. And miraculously, all the lawsuits across the U.S. disappeared. They were arresting pastors and people all across the United States back then. We now celebrate Leaper Day each June 9th with events through Texas. Part of our 50 events we're doing, so we'll be having Leaper Days all over Texas. In 2015, Governor Abbott proclaimed June 9th as Leaper Day, which was a really great honor. He was one of the signatories of the Leaper Day decision, or the Leaper decision. We talk about this because Leaper is the basis for our homeschool freedoms. We're not lawyers, so this advice is friendly advice based on our experience helping hundreds of homeschoolers. Been doing this since the 80s, so not her, but she was a kid in the 80s. And we're training up a new set of leaders so that all this continues. Based on Leaper, your home school is an unaccredited private school. This is the gist of the part that the lawyers talked about. So in Texas, private schools are not under the legislature. I have a friend that just went to Florida, and private schools and homeschools are under the legislature, and they regulate how they do it, and they tell them how to do things, and if the kids don't perform, they have to go back to public school. So you wouldn't have had that option with that charter school. The kids would have had to go back to public school. Same over there, you know. So we were looking at private schools before we decided to homeschool, and there are a lot of variations back then. We went to one, and all they did was sit down all day long and work on workbooks, ACE workbooks. And I had a Wiggly Willa. So I had a very active daughter. And, of course, back in the 80s, they didn't have ADD. Only boys had ADD. And then we looked at a Montessori, and we looked at one called Rainbow School, which was basically an unschooling private school. So because I know that they're trying to replicate the variety of teaching in the charter schools, but because private schools are private, they can go and do these wonderful experiments in methods and style. Now, if you do have a child in public school, you do need to fully withdraw the child, or your child will be considered truant, and you may have a knock at your door and probably some not-so-nice phone calls. If you're just putting your child... Okay, lost my place. My apologies. So just as if you're putting your child in any other private school, you know, I'm taking my child from public school to this private school, you withdraw them. Except instead of taking them to the private school, you're taking them to your private school. Okay? Daddies, you have just all become principals and administrators. And you can even be teachers. My husband was wonderful. He taught my girls how to change the oil and change the tires and all kinds of things. So some districts will have you fill out a form. You do not have to answer about all your curriculum. Some people suggest you do a letter, certified mail, to your school district to say, hey, we are withdrawing our child. We went to the school district, turned in all the books, turned in all the things, make sure all the balances are zero, so there was no reason for them to connect with us later. They did make us fill out a form. We did not fill out the curriculum because we were still figuring that out. So just wanted to let you know, particularly if you have a special needs kid, they will really fight for you to stay in the program. They will even suggest K-12, which is still public school at home, okay? So I just wanted to get that to you about pulling your child from public school, but definitely do that correctly and make them happy to some point. So under LEAPER, you're required to teach grammar, spelling, writing, math, and good citizenship. Now, we know that you're going to teach them science, and you're going to teach them history, and you're going to teach them other things. But those are the requirements according to the LEAPER decision. Whatever method you choose, they say that you have to have a bona fide curriculum. Now, a curriculum is not a stack of books. A curriculum is a plan, and we'll be looking at some lesson plans at the end of this. And so when they say a bona fide curriculum, you need to just have your plan in place, a written curriculum in place. As a private school, you're not allowed to play on teams, on school teams. We have people coming in from other states where they're allowed to play on school teams, but they're also regulated as to what they teach. So I'd like to just clarify that you were not allowed to compete in UIL. However, we don't have registering, no testing, no portfolios, no teacher in your home. This is what my daughter is now putting up with in Florida, is having to do all of that. So just letting you know, in Texas, we are free, and we love that part. Okay. And we're going to go to the next one. Oh, as a home educator, you can attend educator days at museum, parks, universities, nonprofits, NASA, theater districts, and online workshops. NASA, if you are not a science buff, NASA has every science you can think of, and they have workshops to teach you how to teach your kids for free. Isn't that wonderful? So there are lots of resources online. Oh, actually, San Marcos University has some of the workshops. So online, yes. So that's what we do. When we send out information to you, we will let you know about all these things happening. One of the things that people worry about is socialization. Now, if you want your child to be a 13-year-old all their life, put them in a room with 20 13-year-olds, and that's what they will learn is how to be a 13-year-old. But we're growing people, right? One of the things when you grow people, it's not like growing tomatoes. You're not going to see results real fast. You know, it takes a good long time. But isn't this about a normal week? We used to say that when our schedule was a bingo card, when our calendar looked like a bingo card, that was it. So each child got one or two activities. Okay. We also have homeschool days. All of these places here do homeschool days. The guys loved the Cowboys homeschool days. They got to be at Romo's Locker, and they got to be at all this stuff and see what behind the scenes. So we do we help facilitate all of these and get the word out about many of them. All right. Oh, Sandy Lake is coming up in May, and NASA is having their homeschool day on the 27th down in Houston. There it is. Okay. All right. As I was saying, we don't have UIL, but we do have PSIA, TCAL, 4-H, other private competitions, proms, graduations. Our kids can do dual credit courses as high schoolers. And we've had homeschoolers in the Olympics. We've had homeschoolers going to international archery and fencing tournaments. And we have a basketball tournament going on right now. Dual credit is you're in high school and you're taking colleges credit courses, usually at the community colleges. So you're taking community college courses. You get credit for college credit for those, but they also show up on your high school transcript. And we just had a article go out that explained how to put dual credits on your transcript. It's up to the district, but they, right. That's up in the air. Yeah. Right. So our members are going to have a free coding class on March 7th. So that's one of the things that we're setting up. There's band and orchestra, theater, science fairs, bees, geography and spelling bees, Olympic scouts. I mean, your kids are not going to be unsocialized. They will have lots of activities in the homeschool world. So what is your home? What does it look like in your home? What color is your living room? Yeah, what color is your living room? Okay. What color is your living room? Maroon. Okay. Do you realize that everybody's living room is different? So your homeschooling is going to look different than your neighbors. It's going to look different than the people in your group. And there's one thing I would like to say to new homeschoolers particularly, is don't compare your homeschooling and your kids to other people. Because God didn't give you a bunch, you know, he didn't give you 20 10-year-olds at one time to raise. He gave you one child, you learned that one, and usually you have another one, and you learned that one, and you didn't have them start at teenagers, they started as babies, and you and that child grew together. So realize that everybody's homeschool is going to look different. I have seen houses where they had rows of desks, and they had the teacher's desk, and the blackboard and the whole thing, and then they had, then there's others that had centers. We had centers in ours, so we had the science experiments in the kitchen. We had the crafts. Some of the crafts were outside, but we had a craft area. The sit down was at the table, and then we did the big comfy couch for reading. And I had one child that was doing rollover somersaults while I was reading to her, and that helped her retain it versus her trying to sit still and be quiet. So we worked with the wiggle. We did what was needed to help them learn. So if your children have online, or if you take them to classes, and there's lots of classes around, please be old-fashioned and be there. We have found that with the classes, there's still bullying going on. There's still teachers' pets going on. There's still other social things going on. So be an old-fashioned parent and be there. Don't drop and shop. And if they're online, be nearby. Because there's, as you know, online is always dangerous, even if you think you're doing something safe. Another thing is, if you do online classes, make sure that whoever is got the back end of that website, the class website, that everybody has had a background check because they have access to your child. All right? And a lot of them are doing that. Okay. All right. Now, we're going to get into the nuts and bolts. We can sit here for 5 hours, or you can read the first 70 pages of this book. Rainbow Resources in the hall has, in the exhibit hall, has this book. It's $20. It'll save you hundreds, because this book, did you want to go over the sections? Okay. This book tells you about the Wiggly Willies, or the and the Perfect Paulas, and the Competent Carls, and the Sociable Sues, and the various different personalities. And then they have these wonderful things, and they say, okay, your style is this way, your child's style is this way, these are the recommended curriculums. It gives you a good place to start, and it's just 70 pages, and I know people that spend 9 months taking classes to learn what's in the first 5 chapters, okay?
Okay, I definitely recommend that book. Some of you didn't come in earlier, but my name is Nikki, and I'm a second-generation homeschooler. I was started in the 80s, 1983, graduated in 90, and now I have 5 kids, and they're ages 6 through 20. And so I've graduated one and several more to go. When people ask me about homeschooling, this is one of the top books I recommend. The other one is Educating the Wholehearted Child by Sally Clarkson. We don't have a picture of that, but that's really good. It just helps you to think outside the schoolroom and the school desk. Just like she was saying, it's not just replicating the classroom. It's how to teach your children what they need to know. For those of you that are considering homeschooling, I'm really glad you're here at a convention, because you see in that exhibit hall all the possibilities. You don't just need to go to a teacher store and get whatever textbooks the teachers are using. You can see that the options are almost unlimited, and everything that's available is not even in this hall. If you look at this book and you start Googling, you'll find so much available. And so there really is no end to the way you can customize an education for your kids. One of the first things I tell people to do if they're getting ready to homeschool, and even if you are already doing it and you haven't done this step, I highly recommend it, and that's to set a goal and a vision. Your reasons for homeschooling are going to be different than everybody else in this room, and they're going to be different from mine. And so it's really good to sit down and think about what's the first thing that made you think this is going to be for us. What is it that's led us down this path? What made us come to this convention? And this could be one sentence. You might fill a whole sheet of paper with your reasons. And so do it, especially with your spouse if you can. But if it's just you, just sit down and start doing that. It might take you a minute. It might take you all weekend. But really kind of lay out your goals and what you want to do and what you hope to achieve through this. And that's going to get you through the hard times. I've found that to be true, that when you are having a really bad day or a really bad week, or the math is just not happening at your house, and you think, I'm just going to give this up, we can't do it, I'm sending the kids back to school, it's really helpful to go back and look at that vision that you had, your reasons, and then you will go back and go, okay, let's just take a deep breath and see why I wanted to do this in the first place. Also, that could change. Your goals and your vision will kind of evolve over the years, and that's good too, because your kids are going to grow and they're going to have different interests, or maybe you'll discover a learning disability, or you'll move, or the finances will change. So many things can change, but you'll have a core reason to go back to as your encouragement. I second what Jube said about being old-fashioned. We live in the 21st century, and there's so many cool new things. You could do everything online. You can get your kids on the iPad and the computer and then watch YouTube, and all of those things are really helpful. We use a lot of them at our house, but I still highly recommend mom and dad sitting down with kids and pencils and paper, reading good stories, getting out some kind of arts and crafts, build something together. I'm a busy mom, and I have all these great ideas in my head, and sometimes I don't do them all, but when we stop, when we put the books aside and put on costumes and act out something that we learned in history, or let the kids build a Lego recreation of something that we talked about, that's the stuff they remember. And not only are you reinforcing the stuff that they learned, you're building memories, and they're not going to remember those textbooks unless it's with usually some sort of negative connotation. They're not going to remember the math books as much, but they're going to remember those times that maybe you were reading about the Revolution and they made a George Washington wig or costume and you went outside and acted out a battle. Or, you know, you can take anything in your school and think about that. But learning can be fun. It does not have to be all workbooks and worksheets and pencils. A lot of it is. There's kind of no way around that when you're going to do math and grammar and things. But think outside the box. Don't just sit down with one worksheet after another or one workbook after another. Don't park them in front of the computer for the whole curriculum. It's not the same thing. So I definitely encourage relationship building. And when we talk about simple, I always remind people, how many of y'all have read Little House books, the Little House on the Prairie books by Laura Ingalls? She talks about her education, and obviously it was not modern. It was not even in a school in the East. It was basic, and it was broken up into little chunks, and they moved all over the prairie, and they didn't have a school half the time. She didn't learn to read until she was 8, and by the time she was 15, she was a teacher in her town. So if you think about that and think about the material she had available, they had their readers, like the McGuffey readers. They had occasional schools with classrooms and sometimes not. So when they didn't, Ma taught them at home. And so in less than eight years, she had enough of an education to teach the next generation. And so if you think about how simple education really is, it will take a huge burden off of your shoulders and make you think, okay, I can do this. You don't have to have a rocket scientist degree to teach your kids at home. It's just a desire. It's a love for your children, a desire to give them an education, and it's going to be tailored to them. And so in one of the Little House books, they talk about they had an exhibit. The school had an exhibit one evening, and all of the kids in the town stood up and talked. They gave presentations. And Laura's job was to recite hundreds of years of world history from memory. And so they didn't have the internet. They didn't have all the great history books that we have now. But they had the classics. They had the great works that existed in the 1800s. And with that, she was able to read and learn and then memorize and present. And so if a girl on the prairie in the 1800s could learn that, your kids can learn the same thing. It is very simple. If your kids are getting fussy, if something's not working, stop doing it. Take a break or ditch it permanently. It's okay because you're the teacher. You have the last say. And so we've done that so many times at our house. And if the kids aren't into writing, my very first daughter hated writing with pencils. And that threw me because we were having school. What do you do without a pencil? But we stopped and we looked at other ways, and so we did math flashcards, and she could spell with letter tiles, or she could write on the chalkboard because that was fun, writing in the dirt with her finger. And this was before iPads, but we had some little computer games. And so there's so many ways. You just think outside the box. Think, how am I going to help my child learn what they need to know if this thing that I have isn't working? There's so many other ways, and you are in charge. As Jube said, homeschooling is not a mirror image of the classroom at your local public school. Don't do it. you will just feel frustrated, and you will likely feel burned out when that happens. There's the basic styles. Textbook is what you're probably used to if you went to a public school, and that's, you already know what that is, so I don't have to explain it. There are lots of curriculums available for homeschoolers that are textbooks. I use one or two, and then for a lot of subjects, I don't use them. So this is for you to pick and choose. And then there's obviously lots of online studies now. You can do one course online. You can do your entire curriculum online. The unit study, that's one of my favorite things. A unit study is where you pick a topic and you base all of your studies on it. And it might last a week, might last a month. You might do it all year. And there are some really great websites out there. There are curriculums out in this exhibit hall. And so for an example, let's say you've got a kid who loves dinosaurs, and so you just start with a stack of books from the library maybe, and you talk about the dinosaurs, you talk about the if they were mammals, and I know we can get into some sticky subjects here, but my point is Let them draw dinosaurs, let them read about them, find a video, talk about what they might have eaten or not eaten, how did they breathe, where did they live, and then take that and have them copy sentences out of a dinosaur book so they understand how a sentence is structured, and let them write all of those dinosaur names that are impossible to say and spell. It makes their brain work hard, and then let them write their own little story or draw the dinosaur. Same thing with football. You can go into the science of how the football is created and how physics works and the history of football and their favorite team and let them draw a football player and watch a movie. Chocolate. If you just think there's no limit to what you can do with a unit study, and that's a really fun way to start homeschooling. If you're pulling a kid out of school and you have no idea what to do, get started. Just say, what do you want to talk about? What do you want to learn? Let's look it up. And I mean, I didn't realize until a couple weeks ago that my youngest daughter didn't know that caterpillars turn into butterflies. She's the last one, and we hadn't talked about it. And she was amazed because there was a sentence in the little grammar book that I'm reading to her. So we looked it up online. We watched a video, and then we colored pictures, and we looked outside for caterpillars. And so you can see any topic is a springboard to so much education without a textbook. So anyway, that's the basic idea of a unit study. Relaxed and eclectic is probably what I do now. Eclectic just means there's no one thing you're using. You know, all of my sources come from different companies, math from one place and grammar from another, and that's eclectic. You're just picking and choosing what works for you in each different subject. And relaxed means you're not worried about calendars and scope and sequence and grade levels. After a few years of homeschooling, you'll realize it's okay to not think about grade levels as long as you're helping your children progress from one thing to the next all the time. And so we don't do grade levels. We don't do tests because I'm right there with them, so I already know whether they know their topic or not. That's relaxed. And then unschoolers, that's where it's more child-led, child-directed. It doesn't mean they're not having school. It's just, it's almost the complete opposite of the textbook thing. It's a child kind of doing a unit study, and they learn what they want to do. Unschooling can look so many different ways, and so if I tried to define it, I would probably get it wrong for someone in this room. You can look that up, but it just means that it's not so much a structured parent-led list of things to do, but it's the child says, I know what I'm interested in, can we learn that? And then there's actually classical unschoolers, which Jube had to tell me because I wasn't aware of. And classical is the method that is the most ancient, the most long-lasting form of education. That's what the world has used up until the 20th century when we went to the American public school model. But the classical is basically based on the classic works in Latin, and the methods that they use are starting young. Is it the grammar stage first? In the classical model, it's a very specific method, and it's educated the world for centuries. And so it's very interesting, and it's very rigorous. And so I was interested to learn that there could be classical unschoolers.
The reason I put that there was because once, and she talks about the different philosophies in here, is that there are about 8 philosophies and about 15 different methods. So you can mix your philosophy and use whatever method you want. So for my first child, she was okay with textbooks, and she was good with, she was self-motivated. And then my Wiggly Wilma, she needed to have a lot different education. We did 4 different high schools. I think you're finding that too, aren't you? And so you can mix, you can find your philosophy. A lot of people go, oh, what, when you're starting homeschool, you go, what curriculum should I use? How many of y'all, that was your first question? Okay. Find the philosophy that works for you, and then find the method that works for the child, because you can adjust it for each child, and then find your curriculum. And so those are just things that, and again, it's all covered in the first 70 pages.
Yes, all of these are in this book too. And then, like she said, you can look at the philosophy that seems to appeal to you, your children's learning style, and then she'll have all these little symbols in the book. And so you say, I really like that story of the world. I wonder if that works with what I'm thinking. So it's a really, really good handbook for just trying to figure it out. And when you figure it out, it might stick for about a year, and then you'll figure out something different. So don't feel discouraged if you think, no, that wasn't it. That's not the one I need. It's okay. People, oh my gosh, I don't know how many curriculums I've done. We've tried some and didn't like them, and then we've tried some and stuck with them all these years. You're, like she said, your homeschool is different, so you're all going to do something different. If everybody in your co-op is using one science curriculum and you think, that must be the only good one, don't worry about it. I have that situation in my area. I'm the only one that doesn't use Apologia. Not because I don't like it, just because I found something we liked better. And so there's a little peer pressure even among homeschool parents. But don't let the peer pressure get you. Just pick what works for your family. And that's going to depend, like I said, on your budget and your family style, your husband's schedule. my husband works 6 days a week, so it's all up to me. And our budget is limited, so I have to be choosy and careful. And I have little kids and big kids. So your dynamic is going to decide what you pick. Okay, definitely check out the Texas Home Educators website. This is a really great resource for connecting with people in your area. Co-ops, sports teams, all the activities that we can find go on that website. And so you can look at your region and hopefully connect with a group. And then here's what I always tell people. If there's not something in your area, then you get to be the one to start it. Because everything that exists for homeschoolers was started by parents who said, you know what, let's do this. And that goes from co-ops to science groups and spelling bees to sports teams. And as a lot of you probably may be aware now, there are athletic associations just for homeschoolers now, especially in the metro areas. So definitely check out that website. And then I was going to say, set your own schedule. The Texas law does not define any kind of school schedule for us. So that's something else you get to decide along with your curriculum. And my family does year-round now. We discovered quite a few years ago that we didn't need to go from September to May. Because why? Just because the public school does. So I set the schedule. And when my husband's on vacation, we take a break. And when it's nice weather in the spring and fall, those kids are outside and not in the house. And then when it's 100 degrees in the summer, they get to come inside and do some schoolwork. You can do 4 days a week year-round or 3 days or make it up. You know, if you have... Yes, there are some university-style co-ops, too, that do Tuesday, Thursday. That's what I want you to think. I'm not a public school, so what would work at our house and make it work for you? There are working parents who, someone in here said that she teaches at night. There are a lot of people that do that. There are single moms who homeschool, and they have to do it in any way that works for them. So don't worry if you're not doing it from 8 to 3, because it doesn't matter. And then if you're feeling burned out, I don't know if I said this already, if you're having a bad day or a week where your kids are and school is making everybody cry, that does happen, I've been there, stop and take a day off or take a week off and just say, hey, let's go to the park. How about that? And everybody's eyes are going to light up and you're all going to feel better. Or you might just say, we have 12 loads of laundry. We're not going to do school today. We're going to do this laundry and then let's have some ice cream and then y'all go play. Because school is a long-term thing, and it's not your whole life, but your life is your life, and you need to manage that first before you let school take over, because it's not going to be the end of the world if you miss a day or two.
And for those of y'all with littles, did you know that there was a curriculum with Mr. Rogers? So you could do all your kindergarten with Mr. Rogers. So we have the option of either we have 20 minutes, we can show you some lesson plans so you know what it is. I found that when we did these 101s, the thing that scared the parents the most was, what's a lesson plan? And it's so simple. And then the other thing was scope and sequence. And it was like, scope and sequence, because the educators, the teachers, when you go talk and try to get your child out, they're going to ask you all these technical questions. Because the public schools have made education so complicated. So if I can get this off, I can show you guys very quickly. This is from my old school district that I pulled my kids from. And this is their one page. Yes, ma'am. You don't have to tell the public school system they exist. Exactly. If you didn't register. Now, if you pre-registered your kindergartner, you need to tell them they're not showing up, okay? Because we don't want them coming to your door and scaring your five-year-old. Anyway, so this is a scope and sequence from the public school, and everything's text, and everything's, we're going to do this and this, and, you know, it's just very, to me, unfriendly. It can. So then I went to, I think, Bob Jones, and I got a scope and sequence. And here's their scope and sequence. See? By grade. It's all friendly. And then you have the different grades. And you can print this out and figure out a lesson plan for each of these things for your child. And then cooking yummy in my tummy. Did you know that's a class? Did you know for high schoolers there's a life skills class? So if you teach them how to do a budget, how to do their checkbook, how to take a test, that's actually a class at Cyfair. So this is what a scope and sequence is. What do you want your kids to learn? What are we going to do to help learn that? And then here's a lesson plan from the Smithsonian. Did I say there were lots of free lesson plans online? Okay, Smithsonian. And this is all about a nature journal. And the private sector is much friendlier in their format. And so you can see usually it'll have a background. It'll have the premise. Here's the historical things. You open your discussion. It'll usually have a list of... Not yet. We're getting there. Anyway, and so they... So you usually have a list, your objectives, a list of materials, and then what you're doing. And just like with the unit studies, it's very simple to put a lesson together. But again, if you buy Bob Jones or whatever, they usually have your scope and sequence and lesson plan and all of that in there. And then a lot of people start out the first year with a full curriculum, bought, purchased, whatever, or online. And then they you get your legs under you, and then you start running, you know. So anyway, let's do questions. Okay. No portfolios. You will want to do that because if you have a child struggling with an area like math or writing, when they're in fourth grade, then when they're in sixth grade and they've overcome it, you'll want to show them how good they've progressed. I know one mom that did a lap book. She did a scrapbook every year of all the papers, the best papers, and the best things that her children did. It's not required, but you can think about doing it. If you feel more comfortable, then do that. Yes, ma'am. Lots. Have you not seen all the planners and things in the hall? Okay. So many, because everybody plans differently.
There are free ones online, too.
Yeah, lots. She puts those out. Go ahead.
I just started homeschooling 4 weeks ago.
Okay.
As a homeschooler, I just did this last week with my 16-year-old. There's a form, and the Texas Department of Transportation website is horrendous, so I had to do a lot of digging, and they don't answer their phones. But the VOE is a form, and if you just go on there and type that in Google, it'll take you right to the right page, and you print it out and sign it, and then, and VOE is a verification of enrollment, in case you're wondering what we're talking about, because if you're homeschooled, you don't have a teacher school or anybody to sign off, and so you will sign it as the parent. I mean, they actually will take that, and then there will be verification that your child lives at your address. And if you don't, if your child doesn't have a lot of documents like mine doesn't yet, then they will accept your IDs as proof. Yes. No, they didn't. The lady just looked at all our stuff and said, thank you. Okay. At least in where this is my second one to do that with, and they don't care. Yes. No. She was saying that because if you're withdrawing kids from school, sometimes a superintendent or principal will kind of harass you and say, oh, I need to see what you're going to teach. Now, you don't have to show them anything. That's not part of the law, and some people are a little afraid, so they try that. And so if they say that, a scope and sequence is your list of what you want to teach, and not everybody makes one of those up. All in. Good.
And so my thing is gone all these seminars this whole since Thursday. And so now I know I need to come up with a plan or whatever it is that I want to teach my children. But I am a person who, these are my kids. So the very first thing I'm going to do is withdraw them. And I don't need to tell you anything, but that
right.
they will no longer be here.
Right.
And so I was wondering, Scopus, why do I have to explain that to them?
You don't really have to, but she's kind of letting you know what the terms are. And if they ask, you can say, I haven't decided yet. And you can say, it's not their business, and there's no law that says they have to know it. So you can just say, we're still choosing curriculum right now. Thank you. Anybody else? That's right. Quite a few years ago, I'm not even sure I had all my kids yet, but, you know, I told you I wrote a vision. Another thing I wrote, I still have it somewhere, just scribbled with my thoughts as fast as they could go. I wrote down what I wanted my kids to know, not as high school graduates, but as people. So, you know, I want them to know how to cook, and I want them to know how to use a car and change a tire and do a checkbook and all the things that, you know, you're going to teach your kids, and then you want them to be good citizens and neighbors. And so I was just brainstorming one day. I just wrote everything down. What do they need to know? And then what about the boys? Is there something special the boys need to do and know? What about the girls? And so it was a real basic list of what's going to produce a really great person when they grow up and become an adult. What kind of adult am I sending out into the world? And so that's also been my secondary guide to what we do. And I pull it out, I don't know, once a year or something, and I take notes from that. And so that's kind of answers that can be a scope and sequence, and then you're going to start looking at the educational stuff, but it's very optional. Yeah.
So one of the terms that I've heard continually is de-schooling.
Oh, yeah.
So how do I, because one lady said, well, it took me a year to do 2 years worth of damage for my kids, like to fix it. And then one lady said, well, you can just take a couple weeks off and just kind of start introducing stuff a little bit here and there. However, I'm going to be very honest with you, I am a lazy parent. And so my fear is that if I don't get started, then I'll get too lax and it won't be what it needs to be.
Right. And when I pulled my first child, she had a hard time reading, and I said, I wanted her to, the idea between de-schooling, I don't know if y'all, for those of y'all that have had kids in school, do you kind of notice that in August they become themselves again? So that's what we're looking for. So usually it's 1 month for every year in school. But, yeah, I lasted a week, and I said, you have to read at least 15 minutes, and I let her start on comic books because she wasn't a very good reader. I had two that could read at 9 and 11 and two that could read at 3 and 4. But you know what? By the time they were 15, they were all good. But so I had her reading comic books because it was something she loved. Find out what they love. But let them get bored. That's what de-schooling is. It lets them get back to themselves. Let them get bored, and then get them started. Like she said with the unit study, okay, you're bored. What do you like? Did you know you can teach a whole history class with theater or with dinosaurs or with music or with whatever it is they love? So we've been around doing this. You can give me a subject, and we'll build writing and history, and we can do science, and we can do all the things around it. See, it wasn't learning. Okay. You were talking about you're not homeschooling yet. You know, when you have a five-year-old, you have potty trained that child, which is, I think, one of the hardest things. You've taught them to eat without getting it all over them, you know. You have taught them to speak, have basic manners. You've taught them how to dress themselves. I mean, we have been homeschooling them until they're five, and you hand them over. It's just a continuation. It is a very sweet continuation. You teach them to draw. You teach them to color. You don't even have to teach them. You just put them in front of them. Did you know 4-year-olds can divide? Get 3 kids and 5 M&Ms. Kids can divide. Okay? So children want to learn. They love to learn. And that's what we really want to encourage people as they homeschool. I tell people that my goal in life for my kids is that they follow God and they learn how to learn. I have a daughter that got a degree in film, television, and theater. Could not get a job in that. She was really good. Learned to fly at 15. She's now a network engineer, part of Mensa. She couldn't read till she was almost 10. So don't, you know, and when they couldn't read, we did we did other hands-on things. We read to them. If they have a problem with math, then go back to Legos. Do what it needs to do to go around to keep them moving forward. That's the other advantage of you'll have homeschoolers are often, I'm grade this in reading and grade that in math or whatever. But because they can't do one of the 6 subjects, we don't stop them. We try to find that passion, that thing that makes them want to learn, and have them continue to learn. Yes, ma'am. We're working on that. We usually make recommendations for different groups around Texas. Are you here in North Texas?
No.
Central Texas. Okay. Well, my other board members from down there. My kids had ADD or dyslexia or different combinations, so we worked through that. So there are resources out there, and we'd be glad to help you with that. So anybody else? Yes. Oh. Sorry, we pulled it off. Texas Home Educators, do you have the pamphlet? No. We're in booth 304. Come visit and get connected with us. Whenever you see our logo, we have 2 websites. We're on, there's the logo. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, Instagram, Google+. So, and we have them for Austin, DFW, San Antonio, Houston, and the one generally for Texas, and we have a Minority Homeschoolers of Texas also. So we try to, if y'all have a need, come to us. We try to do that. We did a bowling tournament because there was a need. We're working with the military people because of the homeschoolers that are coming into Texas and helping them get acclimated. So, you know, that's what we do. We're service. We're here to serve you. We're here to serve the community. Any other questions? All right, y'all, go have fun.
Oh, I actually do have one question.
Yes, ma'am. Discourage you from being different?
Yeah.
Actually, the surveys, Baylor did a survey, and Oral Roberts did a survey, and they found, and you have to realize, Baylor was, they got a new admissions person, and he was just, you have to take a GED, and blah, 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 because we get to do a transcript as a private school, so name your private school. But they did a survey. They found of their homeschoolers, and they found out they actually acclimate better because they've already been doing some independent study at the high school level. They also are more active in the civics part, you know, student body stuff, and they tend to be officers in those things. So the studies say differently. And if you need studies, NHERI has all kinds of studies that tell you that homeschoolers do just fine. All right.